This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three. Are you kidding me?
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Thank you so much for joining us. Lawrence Scott here with Tim Roy and Luke Laux, a Warriors player development coach who joins us to talk not just about his time with the Warriors on the coaching staff, but also his own playing days, which included time in the G League and spots around the world. Luke, thank you so much for joining us. And when you think of your playing days at Florida State and in and around professional basketball, how has that helped you with what you do with the Warriors in this player development role?
Yeah, first and foremost, thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk hoops, especially during the time we're going through right now. We're all kind of homebound, and so I appreciate you guys having me on. But to answer your question, I think for all of us young coaches on any staff in the NBA or college, it always helps to have, you know, a little bit of experience to rely on and to hopefully pass on to the guys we're coaching. I find that I always connected as a player with the coaches that played before me. It doesn't matter what level, but if they've been in the heat of battle and, you know, kind of gone through some of those same experiences, it's always easier to relate to. So even though my playing career was at a much lower level than these guys on the Golden State Warriors, I think anytime you can kind of share some of your knowledge or your path or things that you have gone through, I think the guys enjoy that and you know, hopefully can learn from it.
Look, when you look at the fact that you had a career in basketball as a player, and you know, the players know about the anxiety of not getting in the kind of minutes that they want. Do you think that kind of background that you had helps you in trying to keep a player's confidence up? Because you know, you've had long nights someplace else. You know what that player is going through.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you look at our player development staff, and one way or the other, most of us have played at varying degrees and varying levels. You know, Theo Robinson played at Cal, and Aaron Miles played at, you know, at Kansas, and then professionally, Chris DeMarco, our director, you know, played at a lower level, but he was very productive. But all of us have had experiences. You know, whether or not we were the best player on our team or a guy coming off the bench or at times we weren't playing at all. So I think you can kind of rely on some of those experiences to not only motivate, but to just keep perspective with the players you work with the Warriors. And I think, you know, Draymond says it all the time when he was a rookie and, you know, all of our guys, and you see it all around the league. You don't always get the playing time you think you may deserve. But the key to being successful and lasting in this business as a player is to be prepared for when that time comes. And you never really know when it's going to come. So if you look at, you know, some of the guys I've worked with, even like Quinn Cook in his first year on a two-way, he had ping-ponged around the league and, you know, never really stuck anywhere and got cut and played in the G League and bounced back and forth. And with us, you know, I told him, when your name is called, Steve is going to trust that you're ready. And you don't know when it's going to be. It could be a week from now. It could be 3 months from now. It could be 5 months from now. But there's going to be a time where you're going to play a lot of minutes. Just looking at the nature of the way things go, with, you know, Steph may rest a game and shoot, you could start as a two-way guy. And to Quinn's credit, he kind of took that and ran with it. And that whole year, he worked his tail off and did everything we've asked. And when his name was called, he was ready to go and had a really good stretch. And now, you know, he's a solid NBA player and rotation player around the league. So absolutely, you know, I think that's the best part of coaching is to use some of your experiences and other people's experiences to motivate and to inspire the guys you work with.
Most certainly. And I've seen you do this early in a stage where a player is making an impression on the organization, even like at Summer League. One of the things I noticed at the last Summer League is we do some of our broadcasts with Warrior Sound and on our radio broadcast on the Warriors Radio Network from Summer Leagues, and you were on Aaron Miles' staff and really working and communicating with these guys at a level that made me wonder, gosh, this guy's got to have a strong background with a coach in the house or something like that. And then we get to know each other a little bit better, and I find out your dad was a coach, and some of what you're sharing and how you communicate is being from a coaching background. I guess help us with when you knew this was something you wanted to do and what you've taken from just being, you know, in the house with your dad, who was a coach and, you know, had been part of Florida State program in his own right. And, you know, this is in the blood.
Right. Yeah. No, I think, you know, my father is a football guy and never touched a basketball in his life other than, you know, playing pickup in the summer times. And he coached, you know, JV football. He's an assistant in varsity, coached a couple of years as a head coach of, you know, high school football. He walked on for a season at Florida State early in Bowden's year. So and played a little bit at some smaller levels in college as well. So he always had a little bit more of a demanding approach with me in terms of, you know, just work ethic, you know, the way you communicate, the way you can be a good teammate, you know, keeping commitments and keeping your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. And I think that always helped me, as well as having two older brothers that always just kind of kept me in check and pushed me and pulled me and beat me up. So I think, you know, just learning and having a father with a coach's voice, no matter the level, and just understanding kind of what goes into it, even on a high school level, the preparation, you know, the attention to detail. And then to kind of compound that, being a point guard and on the football field when I played, being a quarterback, just the attention to detail and the way you have to communicate and the way you have to kind of be a coach on the field or on the court. It always helped me. I was never really an athlete, but I tried to use my mind and be as prepared as possible every time, you know, I played whatever the game was. So my father definitely helped me in that aspect of, you know, just the way you communicate with people, the way you can relate to people, the way you can, and especially the way you can impact someone's life through coaching. I think he was great at that, especially with underprivileged kids. You know, always giving them a chance. I remember as a kid, we'd be headed to practice and he would pick up four or five kids along the way that just didn't have transportation to get to practice. That's just kind of the guy he was. So I learned a lot from him, you know, both in coaching and just the way you should go about life.
Luke, you grew up in Florida and you go on to Florida State, 4-year letter winner there. At what point did you realize when you were in high school that maybe you had a chance to do something like that and to have a chance to make basketball a career?
Yeah, I don't know if there was ever a specific moment. I knew from, you know, from being a child and just kind of tagging along with my brothers that I hoped there would be a chance to play in college. And, you know, obviously every little kid wants to play in the NBA or professionally. So I don't know if there's, you know, a specific point that I said, you know, I'm going to go do this. I think in high school, when, you know, you start getting recruited a little bit, you kind of figure out, okay, this, you know, maybe this could work. So I think, you know, it's always a dream and you just kind of keep your head down and work as hard as you can. And, you know, the doors just kind of open up. I knew I was a Florida State fan, even going back, you know, when I was a really young kid, then winning a national championship and just watching those games, those football games, you know, with my parents, my grandparents, and us cheering. So once I started getting recruited and they kind of got in the mix, you know, there are a lot of other schools, but I don't know if there was ever really another option for me than to go play at Florida State and kind of go play for the team that I had connections to and that I cheered for as a kid.
And then you start your professional career. you're in places around the world. You were talking Latvia and Belgium and Cyprus and Germany in the end. And I want to go to Latvia first, because that's a real difference in culture going from Florida to Latvia. And folks that are Warriors fans who are also San Jose Sharks fans will remember from Riga, Latvia, goaltender Artturs Urbe. And you kind of have this picture of what Latvia is, but from Florida to Latvia, what was that adjustment?
Yeah, it was different. First and foremost, I was super excited to get the opportunity to play at a professional level. Like I said, it was a dream growing up to do that. I knew I probably wasn't, you know, coming out of Florida State, no NBA scouts knew my name. We had some pretty good teams, and we had some NBA players I played with, but I was, you know, a very average player on some really good teams at Florida State. Kind of knew my role and, you know, did whatever coach asked, and we won a lot of games. So I was fortunate to play on some really good teams there, you know, four NCAA tournament teams. We won an ACC championship. So just to have the opportunity to play professionally, I didn't take lightly. But the culture shock, like you said, the difference, we live in a bubble in America and we don't even realize it. So to go, you know, overseas to start, I'd been overseas once before that. I'd been to Germany, coming out of high school, and I'd actually done a foreign tour of Florida State. So I've been overseas twice. But you never really experience the culture until you live there. And especially a place like Latvia, former Soviet Union country, that, you know, just gained their independence in the early 90s. So we're talking about a young nation, but with deep, deep roots, and they're very prideful people. And it was such a cool experience to kind of just go deep into their culture and learn what they eat and their restaurants and what type of music they listen to. And, you know, my wife, I got married pretty young. So my wife came over there with me. We got married in the summer leading up to traveling overseas. So it's so cool for her to experience that too. And kind of become friends with some of the other players' wives and try to learn the language a little bit, some words, some phrases. And so it was a completely different experience, but I'm so, so thankful that, especially that was our first stop, because it was so different from any other country we lived in, and everyone spoke Russian, they spoke Latvian, they spoke English. And you can feel that there's this whole world to discover at a young age. So I thought it was pretty cool. And that's not even talking about basketball. That's just the experience of living over there.
Look, you're talking about culture and immersing yourself in that. And before we get too far away from your college days, I want to talk about the fact that in Florida State, they're the Seminoles. And in recent years, there have been a lot of schools that have gone away from that. But tell me a little bit about the relationship between the tribe and the school. You and I had a conversation about this, and I thought it was really interesting how the two interact.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously 2020 is a different year than back in the 1950s. And I think what Florida State has done, as opposed to some of the other, whether it's schools or professional sports teams that use things that may not be, you know, culturally correct anymore, like using a Native American tribe as your logo. And I think what's really cool about Florida State is they do a really good job of partnering with the actual tribe, the Seminole tribe in Florida. You know, and they have a program with, everyone knows the Florida State horse that comes out, and they got the guy with the flaming spear, and they do that. But what people don't actually know is, you know, they have a whole program for that in terms of training the horses, in terms of who gets to ride it, in terms of all the history behind it. And I think it's pretty fascinating to learn, you know, growing up in Florida, you don't really take notice, but how much history there were with Native American tribes. So I think Florida State does a really good job of partnering with the tribe itself, and having those people around. I know, you know, some of the chiefs came and talked to our basketball team, you know, once a year, and we got to ask them questions and their way of life and how they look at things and how they approach things. And it was such a cool learning experience for us. And I'm sure it was neat for them too, to be at our practice and get, you know, bring their kids in, and we play some shooting games with them and all that. So I think it, just from that aspect, whether or not you should be naming your institution the Seminoles, yes, no, I'm not one to decide, but I do think there's a strong relationship between the school and the tribe, and I think it's beneficial for both of us, to be honest. So, I don't know about, these other schools and these other professional sports teams. I don't know whether they should switch their names, but I do know that the relationship between, Florida State and the Seminole Tribe is one that I personally learned a lot from. And I would say, most of the teammates of mine could echo that sentiment.
Warriors player development coach Luke Laux joining us here. And your time after Florida State brought you also to the G League and stops in Erie and Portland, Maine. Portland's a great city all around. And learning that Erie moved eventually to Lakeland, which was not that far from where you grew up, was an interesting story. But it also involved a time where you had contact with one of the members of the Curry family long before you linked up with Stephen Curry and the Warriors.
Right. Yeah. So I played in the G League after, Latvia, then Cyprus, then Belgium. Then I went to the G League for a cup of coffee and I actually crossed paths with Seth Curry, Peyton Seaver. There are some good names on that Erie team. But Seth Curry was just absolutely demolishing the G League. At the time, it was the D League, but now the G League. I don't know his exact numbers, but it seemed like every night he was going for 30, and it was a lot of fun for me, as a PG to play with him for, I don't even know how long I played there, probably 6 weeks or so, but just a quick crossing of paths. And I'll actually never forget it. There was a time, and obviously this is a time where, Steph was kind of coming into his own right. What was this, 2014, 13, 14, right around there. So Steph obviously is starting to ascend as a star, and I'm playing with his little brother, Seth, who I also played against in college too, when he was at Duke. I was a senior at Florida State. So we crossed paths there, competing against each other. So I'll never forget it. I was a locker or two down from Seth, and all of a sudden he gets this huge box, and it's big box, and he's undoing it, and all of a sudden he's just pulling out boxes and boxes of shoes, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. We were the same size, and so the box at Steph and Under Armour set him. And Seth just kind of slides a pair of shoes to me, and I wore those things out. There are some of the early, Steph Curry's. I think they were the first edition or second edition of his signature shoe, and they were like bright yellow. I get a rock and some shoes that Steph Curry, the son of his little brother. So that was a fun time to play in the, in the minor leagues. And I got to learn a lot in terms of the way the organizations treat the minor leagues and sending players back and forth. And it was really cool to experience some of that side as a player, because I think it really helped me as a coach down the road when I was coaching the two-way guys and kind of knowing the ins and outs of the way, things work behind the scenes.
Look, all that experience helps you now. And when we say player development, I don't know if the average fan appreciates that or really understands that. So define what your role is and what the other development coaches are doing, and how can an NBA player get better during the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, first and foremost, our job is to support Steve, Steve Kerr and anything he needs from us, on or off the court. And I think once you keep that perspective, I think, your job gets a lot easier, whatever he needs from us and to an extent, whatever Bob needs from us, but most importantly, just supporting Steve and his direction, of the way he wants his guys to play, what he wants them to improve upon. And secondarily to that, like I mentioned before, Chris DeMarco is our, director of player development. So we lean a lot on him, in terms of the direction we want to go in. But I think you know, just from a 30,000 foot view, I think all the guys we work with have things that they can improve, as we all do in all facets of life. And I think they have things that can really help our team win games. And that's the reason they're in the NBA, obviously. So I think just finding a blend of not only improving what they're already good at, but also looking at their game and helping them take the next steps, to whether that's just trying to stick in the NBA, whether that's becoming a rotation player, whether that's trying to become a starter, whether that's trying to sign your next big deal. I think all the guys we coach as a player development staff are in different facets of their career, but for the most part, they're all striving towards something. And I think once you find that something that motivates them, I think you can really help these guys not only improve their game, but, you know, to take it a step further, just improve as, you know, a person, a husband, a father. I think those are things that all of us can help these, you know, some of these kids kind of grow and learn the NBA. But I think to answer your question, you know, all these guys have different things that, you know, I don't want to say holding them back, but that they can improve upon. And I think it's our job to help them not only improve those things, but to, you know, help them grow why they're already in the NBA. And I think when you blend those two things, that's when you get a really quality environment for growth and for success.
You know, it's funny, as you're saying all that, it reminds me, you know, who's also another really great player development coach, Bruce Arians. And what they're doing in Tampa Bay is quite impressive, Luke. I know you're from Clearwater in the Tampa Bay area and a Bucks fan for life. And now a certain goat has joined the operation and things are really looking interesting there with the Bucks.
Lawrence, talk to me. Come on, baby. Hey, I knew we were going to talk about the Bucks. I knew you would find a way to bring it in. I'm so happy you did. I couldn't be more excited. I've been, you know, a lifelong Tampa Bay Bucks fan. And I've enjoyed living in the Bay Area, you know, watching these Raider teams and these 49ers teams. And there's even a connection with the 49ers, John Lynch. I mean, I grew up watching John. I should say I grew up listening to John Lynch just smack people as a safety. I mean, he would fly in and you could hear this crack. And the few times I went to Bucks games growing up as a kid, I'll never forget the sound that John Lynch made when he would fly in and hit one of these running backs. I mean, it was cringeworthy. So I appreciate you bringing up the Bucks, man. I'm so excited that even though they're a little bit older, I mean, we got, you know, Tom Brady coming in, Gronkowski. I think we got a good young core. And like you said, Arians, I think Arians is a good coach. And whether or not it works out, I'm just excited to have something to be excited about as a Bucks fan. It's been a long time coming, and hopefully we can put some of this excitement, you know, into some wins.
Well, as a son of New England, I'm not as excited as you are, Luke. just to let you know, but you know, all good things come to an end. Let me. My final question for you is about next year. And it's really weird. I've been trying to tell people this during this lockdown, and we hope, Luke, that you and your family stay safe as well as anybody that's listening to this. But the Warriors are a team that, you know, worst record in the league, and yet I am, you know, just fired up for next year. As a coaching staff, you guys have to be really excited about the possibilities of next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought our coaching staff did a good job in a really tough year where we had a ton of injuries. Obviously, we had some stars out for the majority of the year, and we lost a lot of games, and that's tough to do. In any sport, at any level, when you're losing, it's really tough on your culture. And I thought, you know, if you go down the list and ask all of our players, including the ones that were traded, they would say, hopefully they showed up to work and had joy. And, I felt like our culture remained intact. And that just is a you know, a blessing to work for guys like Steve Kerr and Bob Myers that kind of drive that, and obviously players that do all the work, and Steph Curry and Draymond and Clay and all these guys, even when they were on the sidelines, just continuing that joy and that competitive spirit and that working environment. That I thought we made some good strides with some of our young guys, and we found some guys that maybe have been written off by other teams, and they've kind of turned the corner a little bit. So I think going into next year, there's a ton of excitement just to get some of, you know, obviously that star power back, and Clay coming back, and Steph being healthy, and then you got Draymond and Wiggins and all these guys that I think we're in a prime position to be super competitive again. Obviously, you don't know how the league's going to go, if guys can remain healthy, but hopefully we're in a position to compete for another championship, and hopefully these young guys that, you know, have had a great opportunity this year to play a lot of minutes that aren't always there for rookies and young guys. Hopefully, you know, they've taken those minutes and treated them the right way. And I know they've put in the work, because we've been there right there with them on the court. So hopefully, you know, they'll know their roles going in to support the stars. And I think, like you said, you can feel some of the excitement just to get back to hopefully winning basketball. And I think that's something that from the top down, front office, coaching staff, players, I think we're all excited about going into next season.
So well said. We're excited too. Love talking with you as well. And thank you for sharing all the stories from your life, your upbringing, your playing days, and what you've brought to the Warriors, Luke. Really great catching up with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it, Lawrence and Tim. Hopefully you guys are staying safe and sane and doing well.
Doing good, my man. Take care.
This has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!